I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Welcome back to the Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View. You can email me at bruce@brucesalen.com. That's Bruce and Salen, S-A-L-L-A-N.com. We usually have Teen Rap with Pastor Drew Sams, but he is unavailable this week, and we have instead, for the second time on my show, a very special guest for this segment, author Joseph Cordell. He is the founder of the nation's leading law firm for men facing divorce, Cordell & Cordell, and the creator of DadsDivorce.com. He is licensed in Missouri and Illinois, and for more information about Joseph and to purchase his book, The 10 Stupidest Things Men Do When Facing Divorce, please visit DadsDivorce.com. That's DadsDivorce.com. Welcome back to the show, Joseph.
Thank you, Bruce. It's good to be here.
Now, did I hear you're facing a storm where you are?
Yeah, we've had lots of storms here in the Midwest. Maybe you guys have dodged the bullet, but I know the tornadoes have been in the news, and we've just had generally a lot of rain. I don't know if we're to call this global warming or what.
Well, I don't think it's global warming, which I personally believe is one of the great hoaxes perpetuated on us, but I don't do politics. I am very interested, however, in the 10 Stupidest Mistakes Men Make When Facing Divorce, your book, especially since we got to cover, what did we do, 1.5 of the 10 mistakes our last time together?
Yeah, well, we didn't get very far down the list, that's true.
Well, I'd like to jump right in and let you choose which mistake you'd like to go on with a little reminder. I believe the first one we talked about is stupid mistake number one, moving out.
Yeah, and lots of things can flow from that. And these mistakes, incidentally, while they can be made by men or women facing divorce, and they can be serious mistakes for either, these are mistakes that are notoriously ones that fall on one side of the table versus the other. In other words, in extraordinarily higher numbers, it seems, guys are more prone to almost all the items on this list. There are a few exceptions, and I'll talk about one of those exceptions.
Interesting, interesting. So you're basically saying your book is completely sexist.
I don't know that I would use that word, but it's definitely...
I'm joking with you, Joseph.
No, I know, but I watch my P's and Q's.
Okay, so it has a gender bias, a gender focus, a gender favoritism?
Focus is a good word. And incidentally, I should call your attention to the fact that while we're probably the largest domestic relations firm in the country, we have just under 100 attorneys doing nothing but domestic relations.
Of which 90-some percent of those are representing the man, correct?
About 98% of our clientele, 97%, is male. We represent almost overwhelmingly our clientele is male. And interestingly, about 60, maybe even 65% of our attorneys are female.
Very interesting. Well, I've always thought to some degree that when you appear in court as a man with a woman by your side, it just gives a different impression to the judge. And I don't know if that's true or not, but it's just a lot of what happens in court, in my experience, is appearance. So I don't know if that's a factor.
No, I think that you're right. I think that can be true, and I think occasionally that is helpful, particularly where the guy's accused of domestic violence or something that would be a sort of an offense
against women,
to women generally.
Right.
But one reason, though, that is dampened a little bit in domestic relations court is that overwhelmingly they're judge-tried cases. There are a few exceptions around the country, but for the most part, In probably 46 of the 50 states, domestic relations matters are tried exclusively by judges.
Where, of course, are you saying that there's, of course, no bias that judges may bring to a case?
We know that's impossible, right? When they put on that robe, all their prejudices, all their biases just dissipate. It's a magical effect of being a powerful judicial appointee.
I'm going to buy a lotto ticket, too, today, and I expect I'll win. Let's talk about some of the mistakes.
One of the mistakes, though, that I was going to lead into, and that was a good sort of introductory comments for the last couple minutes, because whenever guys or gals, for that matter, are preparing for trial, they have to think a great deal about gathering the evidence that's going to make their case most effectively. And among the most effective evidence that we come up with these days is called impeachment evidence. And that evidence has become much more available in light of the internet era, cyberspace, social networking, financial and other transactions occurring online. Now the opportunity to dredge up or investigate and obtain evidence is much better than it was 20, 25 years ago when our methods were much more clunky, when they were primitive. You had to hire someone to sit in a car, you know, outside a restaurant, for example, and hope that they get something that may suggest a relationship or similar thing, difficulties with respect to financial documents, quotes relating to parenting, actions relating to parenting. It was very difficult to obtain those things. Well, in this world we live in, now there are photographs available of these moments and admissions by a party or witnesses that are in attendance, witnesses that are favorable to the opposing party, meaning they're favorable to the person that the evidence is being used against, which enhances its credibility. And all of this is available, much of this is available online with the right expertise.
Now you use the word, you use the word impeachment at the beginning of this. So you need to clarify that because I'm in that context, I'm a little bit lost as I think the other layman may be.
Okay. Impeachment is a word that's used to discredit a witness or to undermine the opposing party's case. And whenever you go to trial, you're as focused on undermining, impeaching the opposing party's case as you are of advancing your own.
Got it.
In domestic relations court, you know, you only have to be better than the opposing party at most things, and you win.
So what is the mistake? How does this relate to a mistake? I understand the issue that we have more access to material, but where is the mistake that men make in this regard?
I think that guys, their attorneys are still living in the 1990s when it was less critical to plan for these sorts of attacks. So there's a defensive strategy and there's an offensive strategy. When on the defensive side, when a client comes in to retain us, a conversation that'll take place among the first meetings that we have will be, you know, what sort of exposure is there online? You know, what presence have you had? What websites do you participate in? You know, are your passwords secured? When did you last change passwords? What about friends and associates? You know, have you been friended on other sites? Are your statements on the walls of other people's MyFace or MySpace or Facebook? So the whole idea is to plan to make the assumption that the opposing party is
going to find everything.
This research,
yeah.
But also there's some opportunity to close some sites and to close some accounts and to perhaps head off some of those problems. You can't clean up the web entirely, but there are things you can do and that we must do early on. Now on the offensive side, you know, to the extent that we can do opposition research as we do in every case now, it's amazing what we can find. I can tell you that it's not uncommon to have custody cases swing almost entirely on evidence that is obtained about the other party, particularly moms who participate very heavily in these social sites.
Very interesting. Joseph, you're not going to believe it, but we are rapidly running out of time. Very quickly, just give a heads Reader's Digest list of a couple more mistakes.
Okay. Filling out financial forms. This is a boring one, but guys need it called to their attention. You know, the battlefield of a divorce occurs with two documents, essentially: the statement of income and expenses, and it goes by various names in each state. And then the other document is the balance sheet, in which you list your assets and your debts. These are two pieces of paper that all too often guys treat them as a clerical task. They're not told that the substance of their divorce occurs on these pieces of paper. And if they failed to think carefully about the valuations, about the expenses they list, about the incomes they list, and other such things, it could cause the order against them, whether it relates to child support or maintenance, or their receipt of child support or maintenance, could swing 25-30%.
That's huge.
That is an all too common mistake. Another is, guys will often allow a conflict to develop, a confrontation to occur with their wives. For guys, this is the kiss of death.
You mean in court? Do you mean this in court?
No, I'm sorry, outside court. Whenever guys, for example, whether they choose to stay in the marital home, whether they simply interact during an exchange of children, if they allow any sort of conflict to develop, I can tell you this is going to be characterized as aggression, adult abuse, domestic violence, however it's characterized in that state. And that's the nuclear weapon. That's the weapon that's available to their wives to a much greater extent than it's available to them.
Not to mention, I have to cut you off now, Joseph, because we're really out of time, but it also is one in which total lies can be perpetuated as well, I would imagine. So having your behavior be as perfect as possible is your only chance against a lie, let alone creating a situation by your own behavior. We are out of time. We are out of time. Joseph Cordell wrote the book, The 10 Stupidest Mistakes Men Make When Facing Divorce. You can find it at dadsdivorce.com. Joseph, it was a pleasure having you on again, and I'm afraid I'm going to have to bring you back because we'll have to at least get to number 7, 8, 9, and 10.
Hey, I really enjoyed it, Bruce. I look forward to it.
Okay. Thank you very much. It's time for a break. We will be back with Family Financial Matters and Jim Scheinberg after these messages.
Generation. About my generation.